Is it?
I've noticed.
Upon my ship on Christmas Day, I was fair, so I gave him a chance. You shouldn't be here, what's your tale? I ought to throw you to the whale. He just smiled and said, come here, let's dance. He said, for I was ill, I'll find a way to be with my lover upon Christmas Day. And I'll run and I'll roam, I'll cover the ground. This Christmas I'll see you, I'll be around.
Hello everybody, Nickname here, and welcome to Bigger on the Inside, episode number 2, part 2, part B. As always, I'm joined with Ringo.
Hello everybody.
Yes, and for those coming from part 1, apologies for being such a short episode.
We did not realize how quickly we'd just burn through those topics. But
I know, it was so weird. How would you say it? Would you say part 2 or part B? How would you describe it?
It's part 2. No part one ever two. Says part B. Alright?
Alright.
Good. Okay. So we have a lot to talk about in this podcast.
Yes, we do.
So,
do you want to start?
Alright. So the first thing we're going to talk about is our new spin-off show that's coming out quite soon. It is called Class.
Yes.
And when's the release date? Do we have a...
They said October is when it's going to come out in England and America. Oh,
right.
But obviously, being in Australia, we know nothing until like 2 weeks before, before anything happens.
Will it be on Ivy like Doctor Who will?
Well,
or?
That you're implying that it's going to be an ABC in the first place. We don't know if it's
going
to
be... Please, ABC.
You know please. What? It's like Channel 9 will probably get the rights to it, and then we'll have to wait another 4 months. So it's gonna be after the Christmas special before we see Class.
Oh man! All right.
People wonder why the pirating is so awful in this country.
Let's talk about it, because I mean I'm excited. I'm sure you are as well.
Of course.
So it is set in Coal Hill School, which we all know from just general knowledge.
Yeah, well, if you've seen The Caretaker, and what was the other one? Into the Dalek. What other ones?
Majority
of Series 8, basically. It was set in that school.
So, I actually don't know much about this, so I can't, talk about it as much, but...
Yeah, well, they've been quite tight-lipped about it, but we've only had a couple of little photos that have come up every now and again. The first one that... It was really no surprise. Coal Hill's now become an academy. Which, considering the whole teenage demographic, I'm not surprised.
No.
Because Coal Hill School seemed like a... I don't know. See, I don't get how... Because in Australia, we have primary school, and then high school, and then university. I don't know how it works in England.
I mean, looking at some pictures and stuff, it looks like it's going to... They're calling it the sci-fi Buffy. Sorry, no. The British Buffy. The British Buffy. Which, I mean, it's a good thing to call it that. But
that's... You're setting yourself quite high expectations by calling
it... Yeah, so what do we know about it? Alright? We know that the TARDIS is making an appearance. What is with that? That sounds cool.
Yeah, well, the problem was we saw the TARDIS, but we never saw Capaldi himself. So, I don't... quite to know what's happening there. I have heard that he's interested in doing, making an appearance, but there's no confirmation, as usual. So that's something. It's really hard to talk about because there's just nothing to go off.
There isn't a lot to say. I mean, it's a spin-off. The last two spin-offs of Doctor Who, I both enjoyed.
And I haven't seen one of them, so it's okay.
But but the problem with this one is that with the last two, Sarah Jane and Torchwood, they had this, you know, character that you knew from the show, being like the head of, you know,
correct,
steering the wheel of a spin-off, but this one, it's not the case.
Yeah, you had that kind of security. Well,
I mean, it has a location, that's fine, but...
And you have the principal.
Yes,
yeah.
But it's the character, yeah.
Yeah, but there's nothing, I mean, like, really, it's like, oh, I loved this character, so I'm going to see what happens when he's not with the Doctor, or when she's not with the Doctor. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. So...
It's risky, but I hope it pays off.
We know a couple things. We know that... Do we know the first episode name? Was that revealed?
Yes. So, Catherine Kelly, who I mentioned in episode 1... God, that feels so long ago. Episode 1. She uploaded a photo to Instagram. And I'm just quickly trying to get the name up. But she took a photo of the first script that she got, and it actually also told us what character she is. Give me a sec and I can find that for you. God, I feel so unorganized today.
The first episode is named The Prom.
Thank you.
It will come out October 2016. You know, I can just sense like some really twisted episode there. It's exciting though.
It feels a bit cliche almost.
It is very cliche.
It feels like that it's coming off as cliche only to try and pull the rug under you. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, hopefully.
Oh, you think this is a really cliche episode? Nope. Gonna go totally different.
Yeah, so the creator, the writer Patrick Ness, has stated that, quoting him now, "We are not telling the stories of the chosen ones. It's happenstance that puts these people at the center of things. What if your timing is just weird and things happen to you? How do you deal with it? I'm interested in real consequences. The Doctor is always exciting, but he never stays. He goes off to the next on the next adventure. What happens to real people?" That right there, that interests me a lot. I think this is going to be really exciting, but, you know, can't really judge that much because we haven't really seen a lot.
Okay, so I found the photo that I was looking for. Yeah,
all right.
Catherine Kelly is playing a character called Miss Quill, who,
all right,
I presume is going to be one of the teachers.
Yeah. Not a lot of speculation there. Just, yeah. Boom, teacher.
One of the other things that intrigued me was one of the buildings. So when there was a set shot, there was a very faint photo, and it had the words Barbara Wright Building.
Yep.
Barbara Wright, for people that aren't really familiar with the classic series, is one of the first... Well, she's not the first companion, but she was one of the first companions to travel with the first Doctor back in 1963. And she was with Ian Chesterton, who, as we know from the 50th anniversary, is he the principal? I'm trying to remember what it actually said on the board. I think he said he was the principal of Cold Hill School. Yeah, so I'm just intrigued to see how many other nods that we might get to the classic series, or just in the past in general, because are we going to see a classic villain that we didn't expect to see?
I'm sure that they'll do some, you know, nods and stuff, because the show won't be... I mean, I'm sure the story's going to be, hopefully, strong. But they'll probably... Knowing just general Doctor Who, they probably will rely on some stuff like that, like nodding to previous things. But you know what? I can't judge or say anything, actually. But I'm hoping they do. Because that's why I love the other spin-off so much, because I felt like I'm watching a new show, but it still has that, you know,
Doctor Who feel.
Connection, yeah. So.
Yeah, well, if Australia ever decides to air Class, I really will be appreciative of it, because it means we'll finally have a Doctor Who fix before December, which is good.
Yes, which is great.
Because despite the fact that Christmas being so close, and I love Christmas with all my heart, it's still like 4 months away.
Yep.
It's like the first 8 months have been horrible. Alright. The other bit of class news, and this was revealed by Patrick Ness himself, that there's going to be an LGBT character as one of the main cast. We don't know who, but he's acknowledged that it's going to be one of the characters.
What do you think of that?
I personally don't mind it. I mean, Jack Harkness kind of just set that whole aspect
up. I have nothing against... I think it just adds to the diversity, adds to the people who get to relate to these people. I think it's nothing wrong with it at all. I'm excited to see it.
Well, it is a very diverse cast, so it's like...
It is, which is good, because...
It's in an academy, for starters, so of course you can have diversity of sorts, but it's just... Yeah, I just... It's just so hard to really judge something when you have nothing to work off.
Yeah, I know, which is why I think we should steer clear from this, but I'd say that we're both excited because we do not know that much about it, and we will definitely check it out as soon as it hits Australia.
True. Well, I suppose this is going to tie into the next thing I want to talk about, which is...
Yes.
There's going to be a sneak peek of upcoming stories that are going to be announced at New York Comic Con, which, honest to God, is going to be basically Doctor Who heaven for any person. Like, seriously, just hear me out. So there's going to be Peter Capaldi, Pearl Mackey, Stephen Moffat, Brian Minchin, who is the executive producer, if I'm not mistaken. They're all going to be at one panel. Then you're going to have the entirety of Class with creator Patrick Ness as another separate panel. And then there's going to be a third panel for the people that love the 2013 series, like me, where Jenna Coleman, Matt Smith, and Karen Gillan were going to be in another panel.
That is... What? Oh my god, alright. That is awesome.
It is awesome.
People in New York, you lucky... Oh man.
The one problem was that when I first found out that this was all happening, even though I can't go to New York Comic Con, all this is happening Friday and Saturday, which is already sold out. So...
Oh.
So you had no chance. Although, honest to God, if you were leaving it this late to go to New York Comic Con, then it serves you right for leaving it so late in the first place.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I said, this ties in because... See, I'm intrigued to know what a sneak peek means. They don't say they're going to give away a trailer. For all they know, they could just have a Q&A and they'll just be talking about little bits of information. It's hard to talk about something that's not done. But I suppose that if we're going to get any information, it's going to be there, of all places.
Yeah.
Do you want to just continue the Series 10 talk while we're already here?
Series 10? Yes. I don't know. We covered all of that last episode.
But there are two more bits that I want to briefly talk about. So... There was brief speculation that there was going to be filming in Vancouver.
Ooh, yes, I did hear that.
However, I listened to Radio Free Scaro because, as I mentioned in part one, that they said that there will not be any filming there in Vancouver, because if there were, they would be totally aware of it. So that's a shame, because I was really excited to see where they would go, considering that's where the Eighth Doctor's TV movie was basically filmed, which we'll get to shortly because it's on here.
Yeah.
Would you have liked to see them do it in Vancouver?
Honestly, yes. I can't see myself saying no to that. I would have loved to see them do it in Vancouver.
Because Vancouver has this thing with America where I think they get tax-free stuff. That's why shows like Supernatural film there, because it's cheaper than it is in America. But England don't have that. So they don't really have that incentive to go to Vancouver to film anything.
Alright, yeah.
But yeah, I would love to see Vancouver because it's a fantastic place. So I've been told. It's definitely one of my places to visit because it's Canada. It's like the happiest place on earth, besides Disneyland.
Yeah. Let's do. They should do an episode of Disneyland.
Oh my god.
Oh, they should. They should. Like Pearl. Sorry, Belle is like, you know.
I want to go to Disneyland.
Yeah, I want to go to Disneyland. But they go there when it's like either being built or like is getting destroyed.
No, not that it will ever happen.
But still, it's funny to see.
Like, instead of going to Disneyland, they go to Disney World, and it's just and they're just so heartbroken. It's like, this is not what I wanted. This is Disney World. This is like the inferior version of Disneyland.
Wow, shots fired. Okay, shall we discuss some Series 11 stuff?
Oh, hang on. There is one more thing.
One more.
You already
bring it away.
You should know this.
Take it away.
So the Doctor Who. Well, I found this out on Twitter, but I'm sure Facebook mentioned it as well. That David Suchet. Is it Suchet? Suchet? I don't know.
Sushi.
He's famous for playing Poirot.
Oh yes, this is good. This is important news.
He's going to be appearing in Mike Bartlett's episode. I don't know. I can't. Is that? I don't know if they mentioned which episode that is. But he's going to be playing a character called the Landlord.
Is this
a reincarnation of the Dream Lord, possibly?
Excited. He is a brilliant actor, and I cannot wait to see what he does with this character and episode.
Yeah, when I thought Landlord, I instantly had my mind to the Dream Lord. I'm like,
yeah,
ooh, I don't know.
I think of it like he is the male version of Mrs. Hudson, but like with some.
In that photo, he looks so menacing.
Yeah, like, he could be, like, a, as you said, reincarnation of, or, like, a something of the Dream Lord.
Valiard confirmed.
Alright.
Yes, now let's go to Series 11, because...
Finally! I mean, you know, it's weird talking about a season that, after the season that's coming out...
Two seasons ahead, yes.
Yes, there is some interesting news for this one.
Lead the way.
Peter Capaldi has been asked to stay on during Chibnall's... I was about to say it again. Chibnall's first year showrunner.
Have we resolved this problem from
last
time?
No, we have never. Okay. So, what do we think of this?
I hope he does. I reckon he will stay for one season, and then he'll probably regenerate.
Yep.
Yeah, that's basically my thoughts. I think he will, because he loves the role so much.
But do you think it's best for the show if he does?
Yeah, transition. I reckon it'd be interesting to see what Chibnall does with the show, with Capaldi, because therefore you have the security of such a well-known and well-respected actor.
Yeah.
Leading the series, and then he'll regenerate, and then Chibnall can do what he likes with the Doctor after that.
I have mixed opinions about this. First of all. I love Capaldi. I love 12th Doctor. I want to see him again in Series 11. And I feel like... But the other side of this is that... With how Moffat... Like, they ended Davies with Tennant. And Moffat sort of, you know, started fresh and he could do his own thing. I feel like Chibnall may not get that. I think we spoke about this in the first episode. But
yes,
Chibnall won't get that... Yeah, Chibnall won't get that sort of maybe chance because Capaldi's Doctor has already been developed per se. So, but I mean, it is Capaldi, so I can't say no to him. But that, I just feel like that, for Chibnall,
that's not necessarily a good thing because that basically, when Series 5 happened, it was basically starting a show by scratch again because
yeah,
everything was ending. So therefore, it was like, oh, we have to make this show again from scratch. New showrunner, new actor, new doctor, new companion. It's just, it would not be fair to Chibnall if Moffat gave Chibnall the same treatment that Davies gave to Moffat.
Yeah, but I mean, do we underestimate Chibnall? Because Moffat did nothing but because Moffat did nothing but great things with that you know, send like that handing. But yeah.
That's true, I mean, but that in a lesser writer, not saying he's a lesser writer, but...
No, yeah, I understand. Okay. I mean, I want to see more of Capaldi, but yeah.
I just don't think it would be fair if Chibnall had to start everything from scratch again. I just don't think.
That's a fair point. I'll agree with that.
Yeah. The other part of Series 11, which I was really kind of surprised that they were going to do this, was Chibnall has been tossing up the idea of a possible writer's room. So
yeah.
What that means is that in the current formation that Doctor Who bases is on, so you have a showrunner who comes up with all the ideas and then spreads that out to writers to do that.
Yeah.
But with a writer's room, it's going to be 5 or 6 writers in one room. They come up with the entire story arc, they come up with all the stories, and they all kind of have their own input into the story.
I mean, look, there are always good and bad sides to this, these sort of things. The good side is that with any project, the more people you have, the more, you know, improvement the story gets in terms of, like...
Well, you get lots of fresh eyes.
Yeah, it's more refined. But if every single episode will have these... Like, we'll sort of refine the same way. Is that, you know, really what the show needs? Is that, like, I don't know how to, like, I think the way it is now, there are obviously some negative things, but having this one person, you know, say, okay, I've got this idea, trust me, you know. But with this, I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion on it. I just don't know how it's going to turn out.
I have mixed opinions on it as well. I think the strongest part of having the writer's room is that the arc will be much more defined.
Because yeah, therefore definitely.
The arc can be spread over a bunch of episodes. It's not going to be like Series 6 where there's like random episodes of like full and arc story, and then you have something like the Curse of the Black Spot where it's like nothing related to it whatsoever.
Yep.
So I like it from an arc point of view, which is something that has kind of been lacking in the past couple of years. We've already talked about this.
Yep.
But in a way, I think it's going to be bad story-wise, because you don't want the stories to feel the same.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. Yeah. I mean, it has its good and bad...
Each writer kind of has their flair to it. So, you look at a Gator story, and it's totally different to a Moffat story, which is totally different to an RTD story, which is totally different to a Chibnall story, which is totally different to a Whithouse story. So, but if you have all of them combined together, it's going to kind of lose that flair, I suppose, is the right word to describe
it. Yeah, like, the flair of having something completely original each episode. It's going to be like, you know, you sort of have this same... I mean, same is not the right word because it'll be a range of writers, but because it's, you know... It just feels like it won't be as, you know, fresh.
Yeah.
In terms of... Yeah, I don't know.
The other thing I have with it is that it also... It possibly might feel a bit Americanized if you try to take the route. I'm not saying that it will be, but a lot of American shows do the writer's room, hence why they might be testing it out. But if you look at Doctor Who, and if you look at a random procedural drama like, I don't know, NCIS, CSI, a lot of the more well-known TV shows, they tend to have a writer's room, but you kind of always know what you're going to get, which is not good for a show like Doctor Who, where it kind of relies on each episode feeling different, because it's a time traveler going anywhere in space and time.
You shouldn't, like, that feeling shouldn't be there.
Yeah, I want to be surprised.
When you compare it to the how it, you know, is expressed in American shows, I'm sort of more worried about it now. Because I don't want that, you know, oh yeah, this is what's going to happen. I can tell it's going to happen because this is what's been happening in the past, you know. I want, as you said, a surprise. Which is why I'm a bit worried if Chibnall decides to take this route. Thank you. Thank you. I've been practicing.
All right. You've had a lot of time to work on saying one.
Yes, I have.
I think that's all with the Series 11 talk. It's not much and not surprising. It's like 3 years away. No, is it 3 years away? Hang on. 2018, 2 years away. Nearly scared myself for a second, like, oh my god, 3 years! I'm no Doctor Who! Well, apart from one season. I suppose do you want to go to the miscellaneous talk?
Alright, what are we. Okay, so firstly.
There's a lot.
Should we start on a positive note?
Yeah, go for it.
Doctor Who magazine has reached 500 issues.
Yes, I love Doctor Who magazine. It is a great source of information because they have the showrunner. So when it was RTD, so RTD would normally answer questions, and Moffat does that the same now. Then you have a lot of insight to like the classic series.
Yep. It's been going for quite some time now.
There's a lot of care that I've noticed goes into each issue of Doctor Who magazine. Like issue 500, it was a nice tribute to the original, like when it first came out. So you had Capaldi reenacting the cover of the first issue, and then it had Capaldi answering questions that was asked to Hartnell, and then Hartnell's answers were given side by side with Capaldi's. I mean, that was a really clever idea. And then issue 501 was entirely dedicated to Tom Baker. Like, the entire issue. That is an amazing. I think it was like 63 or so pages, was just the interview. And it was everything about Tom Baker's era and Day of the Doctor. And it was a really, really amazing insight into Doctor Who in particular in the 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
And issue 502, which I have on me, which is so hard because Australia hardly has any Doctor Who magazines, which is a real shame. I mean, you can get it online, but it's not the same as having a...
It's not the same billing of... Yeah.
And that was more looking into Series 10 and what's in store for that, and they're talking about Bill and all that, so... There's a lot of love, and the fact that it's gone for so long is just a true testament to how much love there is for Doctor Who.
Yep.
And it shows, and I cannot wait to see what the 1,000th issue in 20 years.
It is going to be phenomenal. That's all I can say for that.
Yeah, have you ever read a Doctor Who magazine? I'm just
I have, crazy. Actually. I forgot what it was because it was some time ago, but I haven't had that chance to actually physically hold one, and I really want to. Yeah, but no, I haven't.
I think I've got three issues. So this is how hard it is to find. I had to actually look. The very first Doctor Who magazine I ever got was Clara's when she was in the Snowman. Oh, so it was the Christmas bumper special. So
yep,
I have. Picture is up of Clara in her governess outfit, and Vaster and Strax in one photo, and Matt Smith in another. He looks so good. He looks so good in Snowman. I really, really hold that episode to heart because it was like it basically solidified my love for the show. Do you have any on you? Like Doctor Who magazines?
No, I don't, unfortunately.
Did you get rid of them?
No! I didn't have any to begin with.
Oh, okay.
I'd actually try and get some, but no. Fortunately not. So is that all we wanted to say about that?
I guess so. On to the next one. Heaven Sent. The lovely episode that we could not give enough praise for in the last episode, is being nominated for a Hugo Award. You gonna keep clapping there?
The day I saw that episode, right?
Yes.
I had a debate on at 7 PM. I watched it as soon as I got home, and then I'm like, okay, I've watched it. 10 minutes of just staring into just nothingness. Okay, I watched it. Time to do debating. I watched it again. And I watched it again. It was so good, and I am so happy for everyone who worked on that episode. And that's all for me.
Yep. Unfortunately, the Hugos were on, like, was it last week or the week before? And unfortunately, Heaven Sent lost to the Jessica Jones finale, which is a shame.
Oh.
Yeah. Way to ruin your thunder there.
I mean, I've watched them both. Doctor Who trumps it, but okay, good job. Good job, Tennant. I mean, good job, man. You stole Capaldi's reign. Good job, bro. Alright.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Doctor Who episodes I've ever seen. Just and everything yet, about it really did well.
Still couldn't be beaten by Jessica Jones.
I don't know why. I'm sorry about that. I just hyped everything up and I didn't realise it was on.
I know.
It's already passed. That sucks.
That's why I was like laughing inside when you were like full on tearing. I was like,
why
yes.
Why are you so mean?
Way to crush why him.
Why would you do? You're terrible. Anyway.
I am a terrible person.
You are a terrible person.
Yes.
Okay. So there's that. Thanks for that.
No worries.
But, if this has already happened, I'm going to be annoyed.
No, it's not happened.
Okay. Doctor Who has been nominated for an Emmy for Peter Capaldi.
Yes. He's best actor. He's one of like 100 and something nominations.
Are you serious?
Kind of like ruins the magic there.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a big long list and then it gets narrowed down after that. Unfortunately Doctor Who itself didn't get nominated for best drama, but hopefully, fingers crossed, the Americans decide to appreciate Capaldi like everyone else does, and finally gives him the respect that he so truly deserves.
What did he get nominated? Wait, the 60th Primetime Emmy Awards? Is that it?
What's that?
The Emmys, yeah?
Yes,
the Emmys. I'm searching it up now, and I can't seem to find his name.
I think it's Best Drama Actor. I could be entirely wrong, but yes, he's on the lead actor ballot.
Alright.
Yes, best... Okay, I've got it up here. Okay, so he's been listed within the Best Drama Actor category for his performance as a Doctor. No surprise there. Some of the other people on the list include Hugh Bonneville. If I'm not mistaken, he was in the pirate episode. Not entirely
right. Oh.
Then you have Timothy Dalton is also one of them. David Duchovny, Michael Sheen, Tom Ellis. So there's a whole list. 109 names, by the way.
I hope Capaldi gets it. I know it's a stretch, but he's just, as a fan, he's just brought so much to the show, and
well, his odds are apparently 14-1, which is actually not too bad for
no,
odds.
It's not.
I have a look here. So the Emmys itself will be on 18th of September, so that's still a couple of weeks away, and I assume next time we do this podcast, we'll be telling you stuff you already know in regards to whether or not Capaldi
won, because he wins. I'm predicting it now. Peter Capaldi wins. Alright? You heard it here first.
Very ambitious, and you know what? I'll probably do that transition-y thing like I did in the last episode. I was so happy about how that turned out, by the way.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. I was like, I wonder how we're going to do this whole transition-y thing. Where I'm going to go to like the previous episode without making it look so bad. But no, I thought I did a good job.
I mean, your editing skills, you know, they need some work, but I think we did a great job, so.
Hey.
Okay, carrying on. Okay, so what is this, the two doctors?
Okay, so this story, David Tennant and Stephen Moffat have both received doctorates at their respected universities. Yes, very, very well done there. Tennant, if I'm not mistaken, got his for drama, which is hardly surprising in the slightest.
They both deserve it. Nothing else I can say about that. I mean, I'm just waiting for Capaldi's one.
So, no, Capaldi, he probably already has one.
Does he?
No, I don't know. You'd have to actually check, but I don't think he does.
Alright.
Feels so bad.
Oh, that happier news. Big Finish has Doctor Who right until 2025.
Yes, which is actually pretty...
They are amazing.
Yes, I agree.
With a capital A. Like, I think it's people like them who really, you know, do justice for the fan base.
I can't find the
yeah,
universities, yeah. But
it's okay.
Yeah, I've listened to a fair bit of Big Finish in my past.
In your past time.
waiting.
I've listened to a couple and I've loved all of them. I just want to listen to more.
Yeah, well, I love, again, how much love, there is into making the Doctor Who stories, and I'm amazed at how diverse they are in regards to some of the stories. So they have, like, Fourth Doctor Adventures, you have Fifth Doctor Adventures, Sixth Doctor. I don't know if they have the Seventh Doctor yet. I know they have McGann, and then they've had the Unit one not long ago, the one with Gemma Redgrave and Ingrid Oliver.
Oh, alright.
And I know they've had a Torchwood one as well. I think there's like three or four stories there where they've got majority of the Torchwood actors to voice.
Yeah, yep.
What would you like to see as a Big Finish story?
I'd like to see, assuming it hasn't been done, Christopher Eccleston and Catherine Tate.
Well, Christopher Eccleston hasn't done anything for Doctor Who since 2000.
I know. It's a child's wish. But I think it can brighten up a lot of people's day just to hear those two just trying to get through a situation together. And it'll definitely brighten up my day.
It's a lot of sass. Could you really handle the sass?
I love the sass that Donna brings, and the sass that Eccleston brings. So I say, bring on the sass. Alright. Enough of that. this next one. Ooh. Alright. Do you want to...
You go ahead.
No. I'm giving this to you. You got to bring it in, like...
Go. Okay, so... It has been 20 years since the Doctor Who TV movie, and while that was...
Which is still better than Love of Monsters. Sorry, continue.
Were you right? while it wasn't the huge success that they were hoping for, allowing, a series to kick off, what did you think? When's the last time you saw the TV movie for starters?
I've seen it once. Once only.
Do you remember much about it?
I remember, how he regenerated. Yes. I remember the chick. Was there a chick?
Yes, there was a chick.
I remember the boy. That wasn't the doctor.
Yes.
And I remember the master.
Was there anything that really, like, you thought, wow, that was a really good, part?
I honestly really liked Paul McGann's, you know, just the way he approached, like, just, I wish we could see more of him not through just that iffy movie. Like, I thought he could have really done well with it, but I just thought he was great.
Who am I?
Don't, please. Don't, please don't.
He's just walking what do you, around.
So the last time I saw it was like, probably like, 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah, well, I did a bit of, call it research. Although Doctor Who never really feels like research. But,
nah.
Yeah, I rewatched the TV movie, because I have it on DVD. It's like, thank you, Mum, got that for Christmas. Yeah, so I had a look. There were actually wasn't too many bad parts. I think it was just it just felt a bit, yeah, Americanized is probably the best way to describe it.
Yeah,
I thought McGann was fantastic as the Doctor. I think he really owned that role. Yeah, the weird thing I had about I don't know about you. I didn't necessarily like how he regenerated. So the whole, and for those who haven't seen the TV movie, so the Doctor gets shot,
yeah,
like a second after coming out the of most the TARDIS.
Amazing way to go.
Yeah, shot with a gun. Anyway, so he gets shot by some gang members, and then he gets taken to a hospital. But because he has the two heart system, he, when they try to operate on him, they basically end up killing him. And because of
it's a bit cringe now that you say it like so seriously, you know, about how it went, you know. Anyway, continue.
So anyway, but because of the anesthetic, they, it caused the Doctor's, regeneration to be delayed. So it wasn't until when he was in the morgue that he finally regenerated, and then he just comes out of the morgue with his sheet. he's basically a zombie. Can we just state that he's basically a zombie?
Okay.
Then you have the Master, who's played by Eric Roberts, and I like the Master. I don't think he's the best Master by any sort of means, he did a good job of what he was given. So, the Master was trialed on Skaro for his crimes, and was basically executed to death. However, he escaped as a snake, like a ghost snake. And he just possesses this, I think he's an ambulance driver. And then he takes the form of Eric Roberts. I found his plan a bit barbaric. So he wanted to use the remaining regenerations of the Doctor to give it to himself using the Eye of Harmony. Now, I don't really know much about the Eye of Harmony, but I don't quite understand how you're supposed to transfer regenerations from one person to another. I don't quite get it. They never really explain it either.
They didn't do a good job of explaining some of the more interesting parts of that story.
Yeah, Grace, who was the chick that you so gracefully couldn't remember. Yeah, I thought she was okay. She wasn't the greatest companion. She really didn't do much. Like, seriously, at all. She basically got possessed, and that was about as useful as she became.
Wow, okay. Stupid. I'm just getting, like, some really bad memories while you're speaking. Can we talk about that? Why are we mentioning this? You know, why?
It's been 20 years. It's been 20
tell
years.
Tell us. Why? This is meant to be, a, you know, a,
It's a part of Doctor Who canon. We have to talk about it.
All right, continue.
Well, except for the half-human side.
Not, I say they.
We're
do
not
one.
Talking about. The
I
half-human.
Say they make another one.
Why make another one for the first?
Because
one,
because
the need to learn the first one.
Because we're getting one episode this year, and I'm triggered. Okay, continue.
You're triggered.
right.
I think the one really, really good scene was probably the motorbike chase scene. Going through the streets of, well, supposed to be San Francisco, but it's clearly not San Francisco. And then there's a bit where he's like, he gets out of his pocket, he gets out some jelly beans, and gives one to the guard. I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, I get it's supposed to be this, like, obviously subtle nod to Tom Baker's era, but god damn, that's so stupid. I'm like, what are you doing?
I'm getting more entertainment just from anything ever, just listening to you explain the episode.
I really want to watch it again because it's
I'm probably gonna watch it tonight now.
It's not as bad as I'm making it out to be, but it's just
okay. There are worse Doctor Who canon things I've seen, so
yes. And then the Doctor gets all happy about his shoes. Oh my god. And then he kisses Grace, which basically just like the whole Phantom lost their shit. It's like, the Doctor shouldn't kiss a girl. He's a 900-year-old alien. That's me pretending to sound like a conservative white 60-year-old male. Did I do a good job there?
Yeah.
I
gotta watch it again. I don't know why, but I just.
And then, yeah, it's like the basically it's that whole kissing companions thing's just been carried on.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it was fun. You know, it was. I didn't expect much out of the TV movie, as I said, and you said, you know, we've seen worse, but. Overall, I mean, you know,
it's dumb, goofy fun. Yeah,
it's a part of the canon, and we've got to respect it. And it was the dumb, goofy part of the canon. So.
Yeah. Good job. I make it sound worse than it actually is.
Yeah.
But it's
really entertaining. So.
Yeah, it is a very entertaining movie, and I suppose I recommend everyone should watch it at least once. If you're a fan of Doctor Who, at least watch it once. Understand why people find it the hilarious thing that it is, and then just move on with your life. It's like, there are much better Eighth Doctor Big Finish stories, and also Night of the Doctor. Can't forget Night of the Doctor. That was fantastic. With McGann in that. Do you know, the thing about the Night of the Doctor was that it came out of nowhere. And I basically, for the about a week before the Day of the Doctor, I tried to get off the internet as much as possible. So I didn't know much about Night of the Doctor until it just... because I'm subscribed to the Doctor Who YouTube page.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And it came up there. I'm like, oh, what's this? And then I watch it, and it's like, I'm the Doctor, not the one you're expecting. Like, holy shit, that's the Morgan. I was just like, his voice was so distinct. I'm like, oh my god, I just totally didn't see it coming. And then it broke my heart, as it always does. Yes. How about you? When were you like? How did you get familiar with the Night of the Doctor?
Okay, so I was browsing the Doctor Who YouTube channel, and that's how I got introduced to all the prequel to blank. And I'm like, how did I not... Yeah, I watched all of them. I watched Pond Life, I watched Night of the Doctor, I watched all the prequel to...
I liked
all of it.
He Said, She Said. That was one of my favorite
Yes,
prequels.
Yes, I watched them all. And I was like, Doctor Who has this whole website to it. And it was good.
I remember PS. You remember PS?
Yep.
Oh man, that hurt. And it was just storyboards, but that hurt me. I was like, why did you not actually do it? I was like, why did you just leave it? It was, it would have been awesome if you actually filmed it. I need my Doctor Who fix.
Yeah, I'm gonna just binge it all.
I think we've said everything that we need to say about the Doctor Who TV movie. It's done. Yeah, goofy
fun. And we've got a couple more things to talk about.
Yes,
this has been going for 50 minutes. That's impressive so far.
Well, it's better than last time.
Yeah.
I've added a new topic here. So,
take it away.
BBC Worldwide, they're mainly responsible for everything. It's pretty self-explanatory. They're basically responsible for everything BBC related outside of England. They've sold the Doctor Who music copyrights to BMG. So I don't know how that's going to impact the Series 9 soundtrack.
Well, does it say whether Murray Gold still...
Yeah, Murray Gold's... Well, I'm pretty sure that... But the only thing is, Silver Screen has been known for releasing every Doctor Who soundtrack since 2005. So, I don't quite know how that's going to impact on that, whether Silver Screen still releases it and it's just they have the licensing to it, or whether BMG are now releasing it. It's a bit complicated, and I don't know whether I like it or not, because I just want my Doctor Who Series 9 soundtrack.
I don't like change.
Which is kind of ironic, considering the entire show is based around change.
I don't like out-of-show change. Is that...
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, good. I win. Alright. I don't really have an opinion on it. I want my Doctor Who soundtrack fix. I've always loved the soundtrack. God, because he's a god. I was been working for 6 hours, so I'm like bad with pronunciations, except for Chibnall's. Hey!
Yay!
I said it! Okay, anyway,
right. I'm very impressed.
Thank you so much. But yeah, look, as long as this doesn't negatively affect the soundtrack that we've all grown to love, then, you know what, I'm not fussed. And that's just...
The closest thing we have to, like, any information was this bit of quote.
That's pretty very scoop.
So they have... So they say, BMG now have the right to exploit... That's never a good sign when you say the word
exploit. That's not the best word to use, but continue.
the music for commercial use by companies, including advertisers, studios, and ad agencies, although the BBC will retain a tight rein on ensuring its assets are not exploited negatively. I don't know what to take from that. I really don't know what to take from that.
Yeah,
I mean, I respect BMG.
They sound like they respect it, but you know.
Yeah, it's just hard to judge. I keep saying that today, hard to judge, because they haven't really explained how that's going to impact Doctor Who's music distribution from here on out.
Hmm.
And I don't really when they say use by companies including advertisers, studios, and ad agencies. I don't get what that means. What? So they're going to play Doctor Who audio in ads?
Like, I mean,
I don't get that. I just.
I don't see. I don't really get the choice of doing this, but everything has its reasons, you know.
Yeah, maybe is it just BBC Worldwide just kind of like. Washing their hands, so
yeah, trying to get it out there. Some I don't know why. I don't.
I don't really have an opinion on this.
Then other than it's weird. Yep, exactly that.
I just don't hurt. Just don't hurt the music.
Let the music stay the way it is.
Oh,
beautiful
okay.
And weird.
Okay. So I found the university thing. Yeah, I'm gonna go back to the university.
All right, go
thing.
For it.
Okay, so David Tennant. Is getting an honorary doctorate for drama from the Royal Conservatoire.
Conservatoire.
I can't say that's true.
Conservatoire.
Conservatoire of Scotland and Glasgow.
Alright.
Glasgow. He was there between 1988 and 1991, back when it was known as the Royal Scottish Academy of Music and Drama. Why did they bother to change that? That's perfectly fine to listen to. And Stephen Moffat received a doctorate from the University of the West of Scotland on the same day. Yeah.
Wow.
There you go. There's your insight for you.
Alright, thank you for that. Shall we move on to something?
Yes, we shall.
Now, you have up there a topic, so you're just going to let me know what we're going to do now, what we're going to talk about now.
So, Not Peter Capaldi. Stephen Moffat, when he was talking about diversity in Doctor Who, he mentioned that at one point there was going to be a black doctor. So,
I don't have a really strong opinion on this.
I'm just trying to think. It's like, who could possibly play the doctor that? I'm just trying to think. The only one that really springs to mind is Idris Elba, because everyone knows him from Luthor in particular. Yeah. But I'm just like, would he really suit the role? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, knowing Doctor Who, if they were going to bring us a black doctor, he'd be someone, you know, hopefully, he'd be someone that, you know, people don't really know that much. Like, I don't know, I don't really have a strong opinion. I'm not racist. I think it'd be great to have one, but I'm trying to think how they'd go about, you know,
yeah,
finding one. I don't know.
I've got some of the quotes here.
Yeah,
so
go for it.
He was saying that, he said it would be refreshing if the Doctor, next Doctor, wasn't white. I mean, two non-white leads in Doctor Who would be amazing. In fact,
yeah,
a lot of people would barely notice. Well, that's not quite true. I'm pretty sure people are going to notice.
Yeah.
I mean, if they care, it's another story, but noticing is gonna happen.
Yeah.
I still don't think there's ever been a problem with making the Doctor black, which is why it should happen one day. I mean, we've tried. The part has been offered to a black actor, but for various reasons it didn't work out. That's the quote in question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, I don't have any, you know, negativity towards any of this, I think. You know.
Well, my question is, does the black doctor necessarily have to be British?
preferred, but no.
Would you be okay with a black American doctor?
He'd have to be really good. Really good. I'm kidding. I'm not fussy.
How about a black Australian doctor?
Okay, there's a line that has to be drawn.
Come on. I was like I don't know why, but as soon as I said black Australian doctor, I thought of Ernie.
Any Australian actor, I think, just if you can keep them away, just. Not, I mean, nothing against Australians, obviously, not, but, you know, keep him away.
But please. Ernie Dingo, like, could you just imagine how funny that would be if Ernie Dingo...
It'd be hilarious, yeah.
Well, he's not really necessarily black, but he is Aboriginal, and he has a dark skin, but, yeah, no, I just had this mental blank of just, like, Ernie Dingo in the TARDIS.
If you guys don't know...
Go on, explain who he is.
I'll say this with the utmost what's the word?
Respect.
With prestigiously. I'll say this, you know, prestigiously. Ernest Ashley Dingo.
Ashley, is this Susie's middle name?
That's I've just googled this, yeah.
Okay.
I won't know that his actual full
relying.
Yeah, so he's an Australian actor. Indigenous Australian actor, to be precise. Television presenter. He's also done some teaching. And he's
really?
A comedian.
He's
and
been
yeah,
a
he has.
Cool.
Yeah, and he's a pretty great guy.
I mean,
no, I haven't. I want to.
Shame. Yep.
Have you met him?
No. But
well, then shame to you. What?
Yeah, but I wasn't like, oh, he's a great guy. It's like...
I know, okay, dude, if you've ever seen him in anything, he's a great guy.
I just remember
he was in Crocodile Dundee. He was.
Yes. As his, like, best role is just Crocodile Dundee.
He's been awarded. Wait, what? Australian Film Institute.
Hold on. Yeah, I remember the AFIs.
Was he nominated? Oh, hold on.
I don't know. You're the one with Google in your hand. He won.
He won an AFI for Best Performance by an Actor in a Telefeature. So, yeah. We're just bringing our Australian side to this for now.
Hang on. You know Crocodile Dundee, right? There's this part where I just absolutely love. And it's not the part most people will think of, but it's the part where they're in the outback. Ernie, and Paul Hogan.
Yep.
I forgot her name, so I'm calling her. He looks at Ernie Dingo's watch.
Yeah.
And he's looking at the time, and then she comes into frame, and she's like, oh, and he's like, oh, and then they're talking about something, and he's like, looks at the sun, Paul Hogan, and he's like, oh, it's like 3:15. So she comes and has a look at the watch, and she's like, how does he do that? And Ernie Dingo's just like, I don't know.
Okay. I'm gonna get a petition up to get Ernie Dingo to play the Doctor, I think. Let's make it happen. Alright. Next topic is a bit interesting.
Yes.
Okay. Apparently, Series 7 was a bit miserable for Moffat.
Yeah, so this was also a part of Doctor Who magazine, if I'm not mistaken. And it's kind of interesting, but I kind of get where he's coming from.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the two-part series for starters.
Yeah.
Where you had the companions leaving in the beginning of Series 7. Matt was leaving at the beginning of Series 7. He'd been at the role for 3 years at this point, Moffat. You've got to think, it's like, everything's kind of falling apart for him at that point. He's just like, what do you do from there? So I kind of get where he's getting at, but I think he did a good job with what he was given.
Yeah.
Considering
if he was miserable, then he was, good miserable. He's good at being I'm trying to say that, without sounding like a complete, but if Moffat can produce that while being so, if he was as miserable as he said, then...
Yeah,
this guy's a god.
Well, I've got the quote here.
Go for it.
So he said, well, there was a long time when I thought I'd only do 3 years. That was the absolute plan. But I didn't enjoy my third year as much. It was a bit miserable. So, yeah, kind of not surprised by the whole that thing.
The season was a bit troubled in terms of what everything you'd have said about it.
The workload was just insane. I wasn't coping as well. No one else's fault or mine. The 50th was looming, and I didn't know if we could make it work. It was a tough, tough time. My darkest hour on Who was that. He said, Matt, who was a friend and ally, was leaving. I couldn't get him to stay. It felt like everything was blowing up around me. I was staggering into the 50th with no doctors contracted to appear in it. Battered with endless hate mail about how I hadn't got William Hartnell back and Sherlock Series 3 at the same time. I was pretty miserable by the end of it, and I couldn't bear to let that be the end.
I feel that burden. I completely forgot about Sherlock and 50th there.
I'm just trying to this is the part that I love the most, is the part where he's like, he was getting hate mail for not getting William Hartnell back.
I thought you misquoted that, but alright.
No. There are people out there, okay, William Hartnell has been dead for about 30 years now, okay?
God, you can sound a bit sad about it.
But you know what? If Jesus could come back from the dead, so can William Hartnell, okay? So, why don't we all make a Twitter hashtag, #Hartnell2023, he loves it because he finally gets the setup now.
Okay, so basically, several about a week ago, before this was filmed, good old nickname here goes to me. I can't wait to film. So he said, I made a hashtag or something about a hashtag, right?
Yes.
And he goes, Hartnell 2023. And I'm like, what is this? And then he's like, oh, you're going to find out when we record the podcast.
Yes.
But we didn't get up to that in the first part.
That's right.
So he's like, you know, you're going to, oh, okay, you're going to have to wait until next episode to record this. I had completely forgot about it for the past hour. And then as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh my god.
You got me the pain.
How did this enter your mind? What? Well, were you like reading the quote and then thinking just like,
Yeah, no, because I just realized that people are idiots sometime and don't realize that you just can't bring back people. So it's just like, well, you know what? If it gets trending enough, maybe Jesus will be like, huh, you know what? The 60th anniversary is coming around. Hey, we'll just resurrect Heart for 3 days so they can do some filming, you know, and make all the fans happy. And I realized like how stupid the mentality was, but I'm just how like, you know, I'm just gonna go through with it and just see how it goes.
All right, hashtag Hartnell 2023.
Yes, guys, keep it trending. You know, want to see that number one on Twitter. You know,
we are dreamers. It's like, all right,
Jesus is counting on you. Okay.
Okay, this one's exciting. This next topic's exciting.
Yes, go for it.
We are nearing the end of this beautiful part two, but this is exciting. Doctor Who has a possible 3D film attraction.
Yeah, so this was, if I'm not mistaken, The Guardian who first looked at this. Okay, so The Guardian mentions that one of the BBC franchises to get a theme park attraction for Parks Abroad will be Doctor Who. The thing is that they say it's going to be a 3D film experience, so for us in Australia, it's kind of like Movie World's Shrek 4D. I don't know if this is still Shrek 4D.
I went there January this year.
Yeah.
I don't remember there being one. I saw a Looney Tunes, would you call it 4D? I mean, they moved our seats and threw water at us. So. It was a Roadrunner thing, but
that's probably it then, because I know that originally used to be.
I would have wanted to see Shrek. Damn it!
It used to be okay. So originally, that was Journey to the Center of the Earth was the first 4D experience. I remember that because it was the first time I was there. And it's just, it was so bad, like, the dinosaurs.
It's Jonah's head, like, Brendan Fraser's just, like, on the screen, like, just...
Yeah, it was the good Jonah Center. It was not the terrible one with
Oh, boo! How can it be bad then? How can it be bad then? Aw.
No, I said that it was the good one, the one with Brendan Fraser in it.
Oh.
Yeah, the one with Dwayne Johnson in it, the other one. The actual one, the good one.
There was one with... What?
Yes, Journey to the Center of the... Oh, I can't even think now.
Dwayne made one?
Yeah, it was
like the most paid actor. Anyway,
Dwayne Johnson, Michael Caine. Oh, I'm trying to think. It was horrible.
Oh, poor Caine. Alright.
Yeah. Oh, man. I still get nightmares watching that movie. Just don't watch it. It's not worth your time.
I'm not going to. But look.
Yeah, anyway, getting off traffic. So it was Jenna Center of the Earth 4D, then it became Shrek 4D, and I haven't been to Movie World in like 3 years, so I don't know if they've changed it up since then or not. But, my question, I suppose, is that if you were. What would be the best way to capitalize on Doctor Who, like being a ride? What would you do?
I would. Okay, we're flying in the... Okay, we're in the TARDIS, right?
Yes.
And we're going through the vortex, right?
Yeah.
In, and I don't know.
Hey, so is this a 4D experience, or is this just a ride in general? I just want to know.
Well, I prefer it to be a ride than a 4D experience, but as a 4D experience goes, then it'd be like... I don't know. I'm trying to think how it'd be really innovating. I think the best way they can do it is to, like, just... depending on how long it is.
Well, I said it's a 3D film experience, not a 4D. I just chose to make that
3D.
As
3D?
Yeah.
Getting us just to feel immersed in... I don't know how they're going to do that. I think it's either make a 4D or make it a ride.
What would you do as a ride, then?
A ride? Yeah. I'd get us in the TARDIS with Tennant and Donna. And then we'd...
escape from Pompeii.
They can choose one, whatever they want. And we'd be like, just... it'd just be fun. We could be like escaping from Daleks or like... escaping from something, running. That thrill of escaping. Maybe we're being chased in space, because it's a roller coaster. It's got to be fast. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of like a billion different...
Well, I saw it in the news. They're incorporating like VR with a roller coaster. It was so mad, like, looking at that. So there are parts where, like, you would think that the roller coaster was like broken off at a certain part, and it was just then the roller coaster ride incorporates that. It was really mad. I was like, I really hope that's actually a thing in the future. Like, they choose to do that more often.
Let's just make like a Doctor Who just like park. We can get some like cosplayers there. We can get some rides, 4D and 3D film experiences. We can get a Weeping Angel ghost train. I've done it.
Awesome.
BBC, hire me. BBC, hire me.
That makes sense.
Look what I've done.
The Weeping Angel, and then, the Weeping Angel haunted house thing I was talking about in the last episode. That kind of makes sense.
BBC, hire me. And then,
yes, because they're going to listen to such a skewer podcast.
And then there'd be a room of mirrors with silence in there.
What would be the point? You'd have no texters.
Exactly, yeah.
That's such a dick move.
Is that every shirt you buy, every keychain, every piece of soft toy you buy, on the back of it, # Hartnell
2023. Oh. I did not know where you're going with that. Gotta keep it trending, you know, with your Doctor Who theme park. I was like, I don't know why, but I had this really sadistic idea of, like, at the end of every day, one person gets killed off by a Dalek.
Oh, God.
And then I thought to myself, how awesome would it be if there was a version of Survivor where there was a Dalek let loose on an island, and there's, like 24 of you, like, normal, but the aim is to survive the island, like, for real. You have a Dalek, and it's just... oh, that would be such awesome television.
Yep.
It'd be sadistic, but at least you know there was, like, stakes involved.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Some of the stuff I think of in my head, I'm just like, Nick, what are you doing? I was like, why aren't you writing, like, ghost stories or something like that?
You know what? We can have some fun, okay?
It's like, that's what Jurassic World missed. Daleks.
Exterminate. Oh, man.
You've seen Jurassic World, haven't you?
Yeah.
Well, do you know how fun it would be if, like, a Dalek came into that... You know how they all hid in that room? Like hundreds of people just hiding in that hall?
Yep.
Towards the end of the movie? Well, it's like, mm-hmm, the Dalek just came in and then just exterminated everyone.
It'd be the funniest... If you add a Dalek at a climax of any movie, you'll just turn it into an instant.
Oh, that would be awesome. Release. Oh.
Wouldn't it? Like, okay, let's have a little game for a second. Okay,
we're going self-time, we don't care at this point.
No, I mean, we're discussing stuff and having some fun.
Yes,
okay, biggest climaxes. Just like the point where it's like, holy you know.
It's like Die Hard. I was like, but I don't want to spoil Die Hard for you. But you probably know anyway.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen Die Hard.
Okay, so...
Even, like, just, like, shocking endings. Like, could you imagine The end of Shawshank Redemption. When
of course you have to bring my favorite movie into it. Of course.
Okay, he's escaped. He's staring at the sky.
Oh, that bit where it's like rain. rain comes and he's just like lying in a pool of water.
Oh my god, okay.
I'll
I'm not done.
Yeah, go for it. What's another one you have?
Karate Kid.
Yeah, go on.
The final knockout, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's about to do the jump, you know, the spinning jump thing, right? And he's standing there, and he's like really focused. Okay, the other one's better, right?
Wait, but he's really focused, right? Crane kick?
He jumps, spins, and then gets exterminated. Okay. Alright, okay. How about... I'm trying to think.
I'll do the Die Hard one while you're trying to think of one. So,
yeah, go.
At the very end of the movie when Hans Gruber gets shot out of the building, there's like this moment where he just looks out the window. I was like, how funny would it be if the Dalek shot John McClane out the window too?
Oh my god.
It's just... And then the Dalek just looks directly at the camera.
You're terrible. Oh, I mean, I'm not any better, but
That was the one that instantly came to mind when I thought of that.
I'm trying to think what else. How about just any scene in Jurassic Park when they think they're safe from harm? Like a Dalek just like storms out and he's like,
No. The bit where you know how the guy is like sitting on the toilet. Hiding from the dinosaur, and then the dinosaur rips off.
Exterminate.
The dinosaur rips off the things, and you just see the guy just gets shot.
Yep.
Oh. Daleks, it seems so threatening if they just happen to make a cameo in like every movie. I don't mean like back in action style, I mean like full on cameo, yeah. Just like. Causes some shit to like blow up or something like that.
I think Shawshank just like is the one of the funniest things to happen. Just like that build up to like, you know.
Yeah, it's like,
oh, this, okay, we should move on, but I'm sure there's heaps more we can do.
Okay, so
Luke, I am your exterminate. Okay, no. That's
how
it went in my head.
No, it's like Darth Vader and a Dalek having a conversation. What is the meaning of this? What are you talking about? It's just like...
Alright, exciting news to exciting news to finish off. Is
well, you got one now? More... You talk about this one, and I got one more afterwards that I added.
Okay, good. The lovable omnisexual, is he?
Are you talking about the guy or
technically?
The
sorry. The lovable homosexual.
There you go.
Okay, but come on, you know what it's about.
I know.
John Barrowman has returned to Cardiff for quote secret reasons. All right.
Yep.
I mean, we know he's doing Torchwood comics. Is that it? Is that I think I heard something like that.
Is it Torchwood Comics? I didn't know they were doing a comic series.
I think...
That'd be pretty awesome, though. I love comics.
I just muted. Yeah, I think he said something about a Torchwood comic a while back. A while back being recently. But yeah, I actually watched a video on Facebook when he was travelling with his sister in a... They were on a tour, right? And they were in Cardiff. And then he's like... For, you know, something about, you know, we're here, but I can't tell you why. Shh. And I'm just like, what are you planning, you little shit? And I'm really curious, because we both know that he's wanted to return. I think, is like, has he stated that? I swear he has.
Oh, I'm sure he has.
That, it's not, if it was his choice, he'd be in an episode, because, come on, it's Harkness. He has a a full-scale Dalek in his living room. Like, bring him back, please. But,
okay, so, yeah, what, why do you think he is in there? Why do you think he's that card for?
Not Doctor Who. I mean, I think they've been, I don't know, something to do with Torchwood, maybe. I've heard so much stuff about, you know, bring back Torchwood. They brought it back in comic book form, but maybe Moffat's planning something. I don't know. I don't have actually, like, a definite, this is what I think, because all my fanboy just feelings are just, like, just skewing my ideas. Well, what do you think?
Well, okay, a lot of people at first thought it was going to be the Christmas special.
Yep.
Which kind of also makes sense of the whole one-off companion type thing.
It'd be great, because we're going one episode this year, it might as well be.
But I don't think it will be.
No.
So, logically, class seems like the next logical step. However, I don't understand why he would be in class.
Maybe he's giving the LGBT characters some advice.
Possibly. I mean, possibly, but
it's the first thing that just came to my mind, but...
But you got to think about it. So, the last time we saw Captain Jack, he was in that space bar, remember? Shagging, about to shag the midshipman frame. Remember? Yeah. But he only remembers him from Tennant's face. Why would he bother go looking for the Doctor if he doesn't recognize? Well, I suppose it wouldn't matter. Because all he'd have to do was... sorry. All he'd have to do is go to the rift to see if the TARDIS makes an appearance again. Which it could be. I mean, it could happen. But I don't know. Apart from that, it just feels like there's no real purpose him being in class. So my third and probably wild theory is that...
I like wild theories.
They're making a one-off Torchwood special.
Ooh.
You know, I thought about it. Because I'm looking at the article here where Eve Miles. See, the problem with Eve Miles is that she said she was done with Gwen Cooper 1 month ago or so, but she said recently that she would love to bring back Torchwood to TV.
Alright.
So I'm thinking, well...
That's weird.
Jack's perfectly fine with doing anything Torchwood related. Eve is totally on board with Torchwood coming back on TV. Everyone else is dead. Spoilers. Everyone's dead.
Spoilers. It's not as bright as Sarah Jane.
That is like the biggest understatement of the year. It's not as bright as Sarah Jane. You know shit.
That's actually ironic because she's anyway, moving on.
Okay, so my
you have something to say, didn't you?
This is the last topic we'll talk about today. How are we going for time, by the way? I know we mentioned...
We are at a whopping 1 hour and 24 minutes.
That's much better. I'm happy with that. Okay, so... And this might cause a bit of topic. So, in the most recent Doctor Who magazine, Moffat was asked what he thought the most average episode he did. By average, I mean, like, ooh, it wasn't good, but it wasn't bad either.
Yeah.
And he said The Bells of St. John as his most mediocre episode. And, I don't know, I kind of feel like that kind of says something. Because I thoroughly enjoyed The Bells of St. John.
So did I.
I thought it was definitely one of the stronger episodes of Series 7. Which is a trick.
I'm just trying to figure out. I'm just analyzing the episode in my head now, trying to figure out why he wouldn't be happy with it.
Well, I'll read the quote out.
Did he say?
I'll read out the quote. Okay, so, well, I have to choose one that I wrote, otherwise I'm going to upset somebody.
Don't you just love him, God? Oh my!
I went back anyway. And watched it again, and I thought, no, actually, it is quite good. But it is resolutely sort of middle, I think, and that's The Bells of St. John. It's got a fairly inventive monster, which I kind of have to agree with him there. I love the spoonheads. I thought they were a really clever idea.
Yeah.
It's got some great action scenes. I feel like he's giving a bit modest there. Like, I really love that bit where he's, like, up the shard. is like,
dude, yeah, that was amazing. That was awesome.
That was awesome. It was like, did you hear the word anti-grab? And then you push the button.
I'm like, Muppet just hates himself for that, but like, he secretly has that praise that he wrote that part. Like,
I just love the bit where it's just like the transition between that guy on the ground. And it's like, oh my god. And then you just see him go up the shark. I'm just like, yes! He finally jumped the shark.
Really, Doctor? A motorbike? It hardly seems like you.
I rode this in the Anti-Grav Olympics 2074. I came last.
The building is in lockdown. I'm afraid you're not coming in.
Did you even hear the word anti-grav?
Seriously, he can do that. He can really actually do that.
Oh, dear Lord.
I think that was your office.
Excuse me. I believe that someone to see me.
You will.
No, but he's like the bit on the plane, and again, that was also a really good scene where like everyone's just unconscious, and he's like, I'm 1,000 years old. It's like, I'm the doctor, I'm 1,000 years old, and I can't fly a plane, can't you? And she's like, no. Some of the dialogue is so funny though.
We're sort of like just contesting with Moffat's opinions on his own episode. I mean, I think it was very great.
Memorable. That's what I love about it. I keep going. So, there's a pretty good scene where the Doctor is underneath Clara's window. Oh my god. It's just like, I found a disassembled quadricycle in the back shed. It's like, we don't have a quadricycle. It's like, I invented the quadricycle. It's like, where did that come from?
I don't know why, like, what other episodes of Moffat's trying to think that I didn't like as much? Because I thought it was a great episode.
I feel like if he thinks that's his most average, it's like that kind of that's kind of a testament to his episodes.
Yeah.
I was just like, it's like, what, you're gonna crook your little finger and I'm gonna hop into your snog box? It's like, it is not a snog box. it's a very memorable episode, The Bells of St. John. I'm just trying to think. Oh, hang on, I'll keep going, because there's still more to it. Some good gags, lovely music, but I don't think that episode would change anybody's life. Which, I kind of get what he's getting at. It's a very well-carpentered bit of telly, and it's that underrated thing. A very good first episode, sort of. First episodes are rarely winners, but they are very difficult to do. And, yeah, I kind of have to agree with him. Like, if you look back at all the first episodes have been, so Rose, which had to basically set the entire, set the entire series up, was okay. It was a fine episode. Yeah. Then you had New Earth. I hated New Earth so badly.
I didn't like it.
Then you had Smith and Jones, which...
Liked it.
I thought it was a really good episode. I thought everything worked nicely. You had the time travel aspect, you had the space aspect of it. So I thought it worked really well. Partners in Crime.
Loved it! Sorry.
Especially those first 20 minutes or so where they're just missing each other.
When they see each other gets me every single time. I love it so much.
Yes. And then there's like, they've already like stopped talking, and it's like, hey guys, finished? and it's like, that episode's quite memorable. Then you have The 11th Hour, which.
Brilliant.
Basically redid what everything the Rose did, but probably better. Definitely did it better. Then you have The Impossible Astronaut again. Oh my god, what an episode was. That is like the definition of epic, that episode. That two-parter in particular is just epic. Then you
Making an intro two-parter, I was a bit sus about that, but they did so well. Holy shit. Wow.
Well, technically Moffat's two from two in the two-parter intros.
Yes, he is.
Then there was The Asylum of the Daleks. Damn, how did I almost forget that episode? That was my very first episode, as I've mentioned, I think, twice so far.
Oh, yeah, you did say that.
I think they did a really good job. I mean, it's not fantastic, but I thought the Daleks were quite menacing. Well, they probably have been. Okay, what I mean by that is...
Well, I mean, let's just say...
More menacing than they about have been then, since Series 5.
You know. If you forgot about it, then it's obviously not, the most... You know what I'm trying to get at. If you didn't remember it...
I mean, there are definitely some good, great moments in there, but it's just... It's also a lot of filler as well.
Yeah.
And I acknowledge that. It's like, there's a lot of filler in that episode. The divorce. And then you have... The Bells of St. John, I suppose you can classify as the first episode again, which I thought, again, we've had that talk, so I'm going to move on to Deep Breath. I thought it was a really good episode, but I still wasn't fully sold on Capaldi as a Doctor, which I think was kind of the point.
Season 8 wasn't his... It wasn't a season where he was like... what's the word? Like, he wasn't really shown... Like,
I think he was at his full potential at that point.
No, yeah. Season 9 was like when I knew this guy is the Doctor. What a Doctor he is.
And then Series 9, of course, you have The Magician's Apprentice, which... Yeah, I think kind of added to Genesis of the Daleks really well. Which is actually saying something, considering that's one of the most respected episodes of all time, Genesis.
Yeah.
Have you seen Genesis, by the way?
Yes, I have, actually. It's been ages, but I've seen it.
I thought that was a really, really good episode to start off the season. but he's right. It is really hard to make a first episode and actually make it enjoyable, because either the actors are really off or the writing's really off, because there's so much at stake. And then if it's later on in the series, you'd also have the possibility of getting a bit complacent. You know, it's like, oh, I know what I'm doing, so it's fine. But then that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to make a great episode out of that. I respect that. But I don't think it's his most median. Like, I don't think that's his most mediocre, though. I think most mediocre. I'm just trying to think what could possibly. I don't necessarily say Deep Breath. I think Deep Breath was probably a bit more mediocre than
The Bells. Yep.
Yeah. That's just my opinion.
I think I agree with you there. I'm just trying to think back to his episodes, but
it's like, we all know he's Shockers, but yeah, he's most mediocre. I think that's pretty much it.
Thank you so much to all of you who have listened. This has been a great episode.
Yeah,
probably it certainly has. Probably the better part of, like, you know, in terms of part 1 and part 2.
Oh yeah, particularly the second part. We've covered tons. Like the best.
Yeah, it's always fun to talk about all the miscellaneous stuff, and that was good. We've covered from theme parks to Australian black people
to which is our category
in a spectrum itself. But yeah, you know, it's been fun, and thank you guys for listening. Do you have anything to say?
I hope if we get things to work, and we might have a very special next podcast.
Yes,
if things work
we
out.
We won't say more because.
I hope we do it before class, because I think that'd be the best time to do it. Because I think class deserves its own podcast.
A class dedicated podcast. I say we can do that.
Yeah, there you go. So we've just basically hinted on the next two podcasts. Now they have to happen.
You heard it here, folks. Okay.
Thank you very much for listening. Until then, nickname out.
Then go out. Have we discussed everything? Is this it?
I think that's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's been an hour and 30 minutes. Thank you for the people who have listened through this. It's been fun.
I'm probably going to cut, a lot of... Because there have been a lot of gaps throughout this episode, so I'm probably
going to... Go for it. And you're going to cut this as well. But
it's probably going to be, some end credit scene as well.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. Okay.